Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Now that you're here,
let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, with all that lays within us. And Father, we know that shortly is coming the resurrection, for we know we are now in the resurrection season. And believing, Father, that you are the resurrection and the life. And we know that without you, Father, there is no resurrection. And so, Father, we just ask that your presence, your divine presence, which we know that 79 of the 84 signs and events of your parousia have already taken place, and the last ones have to deal with the resurrection and the catching away. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to the time of the resurrection, the ministry of the during the resurrection, and Lord, that great time of gathering when those which have slept with Christ have come on the scene, Father, and our hearts will just pound within us for joy seeing our loved ones that have gone on. And so, Lord, we just commit all of this, beginning with this service, Lord. And Lord, from here on, we just pray that we would be so singularly focused on you that we have that Enoch walk, and that wherever you take us, Lord, we will go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to look at we'll open our Bibles to Acts chapter 8 and beginning of verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And I'm just getting back from the desert, I can identify. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. Now that's an African. So this story is how the word of God first went into Africa in the Alpha. Let's read again. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all their treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Do you understand thou what you're reading? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Well, I don't see push play here at all. All right. Now, I know that there are those who believe the ministry of the fivefold offices God put place in the church is to just push a button, and somehow the voice of God will be heard, and the people will be saved. This morning, we're going to look at that thought, because here is an honest man who asks the question, Do you understand what you're reading? And in his honest reply, the eunuch said, How can I, except some man should guide me? I would love to have the time to sit with every single person who claims to believe the message and talk to them and see what they really believe. I would gather to say most of them think that they believe the message when they don't even know what the message is. The message is not William Branham. The message is Christ. Now, I know many are saying today, I don't need someone to teach me. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. But God's vindicated prophet taught us that kind of thinking is wrong. He said, if you say that, then why did God place teachers in the church? In fact, from question and answers on the image of the beast, he says, You say. So now, who is Brother Branham talking about? He says, You say. He's talking about people that are listening to him. So let's begin reading what he says. You say. Well, glory to God, the Bible said when the Holy Ghost has come, you don't need any teacher. He's a teacher himself. Oh, brother, how can you be so little from reading the scriptures? What does he mean by that? How can you be so little? In other words, how can you be so stupid? How can you be so dumb after reading the scriptures to think that? Say, I don't have to have anybody teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through the teacher. He sets teachers in the church. He said, Are all teachers? Are all apostles? Are all the gifts of healing? The Holy Ghost set these things in the church. He operates them all, and each one of them operates orderly. So to say that you don't need any of the five gifts God has placed in the church, because we can listen to the tapes and come out with a right understanding on our own, shows just how shallow you are in the Bible understanding and in your understanding of what this great end time ministry is all about. If it hadn't been for Brother Vail, I would know nothing. The Holy Ghost comes, the pillar of fire comes to a prophet messenger for the age, and then it goes out from that prophet messenger to men who have been faithfully taught. I was faithfully taught. Brother Vail was my mentor. Brother Branham was his mentor. All right? From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, "No, you're mistaken, see. Now let me go over and just answer it as I come by. Do you teach that the bride must not attend any other church unless you are preaching or else otherwise the tabernacle?" "No, I don't teach that. I don't believe that. I do not believe it. We've got ministers sitting here that's scattered all throughout the country, and I believe they are part of the bride. I believe that a man or a woman can go to church anywhere that they want to go that teaches the word. And I believe that if they don't teach the whole word, you can't go to church any other place where they teach the whole word. Go where they teach half the word until you can get to where they teach the whole word. Go to church, whatever you do, do that." And yet we have a great number of people staying home because they can push a button. That's wrong. So right there, that doctrine that says all the bride will unite and come together by pushing play at the same time is just completely a false doctrine. Thus saith the Lord. You are united by being baptized into one spirit, not by pushing play. From Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, Paul speaking to this Hebrew group, yes, scholars, he's speaking to now, scholars, well-learned, we find that in a few moments, very scholarly, but the deep spiritual mystery, the church is still blinded to it. He said, when you ought to be teachers, or teaching others, you're still a babe. And I know there's many rise up and go out and say, "Oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Praise God, the Holy Ghost has come. He's the teacher." When you get that idea, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church if he was going to be the teacher? See, there are first apostles, then prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through that teacher. Notice, so he could teach through that teacher. And if it isn't according to the word, God doesn't confirm it. Then it isn't the right kind of a teaching. It must compare with the entire Bible and be just as alive today as it was then. There's the real thing made manifest. In other words, if John 14:12, the manifestation of the word, is not happening in the ministry of the one teaching, then you don't have to listen to it. But if it is, you better listen. Because it's the same God that vindicated a prophet in this hour. It's the same God that vindicates that teacher, apostle, prophet, or whatever. Now I know. And look, Brother Brown said, it's not the teacher teaching, it's the Holy Ghost teaching. So what are you going to do? Say, "I don't need to listen to the Holy Ghost. I don't need to listen to the teacher, the Holy Ghost. No, I can push play, and I'm going to get it all." You're getting nothing. You're getting nothing. Because your mind is so muddled up with your own traditions. I'm sorry, brother, sister, this is the Holy Ghost on me. This is not Brian Kosorek. Now, I know why some people have gravitated to just playing the tapes only, and it's because of all the false that they've seen in the pulpits. But just because there are so many counterfeits, that doesn't do away with the genuine. With the word of God that says in Ephesians 4:11, "And he, God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." God did that. I can show you where God said in the church these five offices, but you can't show me in the Bible where he took them out. And why did God send these five gifts into the church? Paul tells us, next verse, "For the perfecting of the saints." People say you're perfected by pushing play, they're false. This says, "For the perfecting of the saints." What? The five gifts God placed in the church. "For the work of the ministry," number two, "and for the edifying," the building up of the body of Christ. Not the tearing down and saying, "Don't go to churches out there. Just stay with us and push play. And how long did he say that these five gifts will operate in the church? God gives us the answer in his very next words. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a fully mature Son of God, unto the measure of the stature, the character of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so there is your answer. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. They don't even know what the faith is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord and one faith. And that one faith is a revelation of that one Lord, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. They don't even believe there was a Son of God. They believe he was his own Son. Now, knowing who he is and what his relationship was with the Father, and how he was to be the pattern for all younger brethren, and so for how long? Until we all come into the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until the resurrection sets in and the elected are adopted. That is how long the five gifts of God will be operating in the church. Now, I'm not mad. I got the Holy Ghost on me right now. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you this morning is his word. Does that mean that we are to believe every Tom, Dick, and Harry that claims to be one of the five gifts that God said in the church? No, absolutely not. You give him the word test. If it doesn't line up with the prophet, look, in Paul's day, after Paul, they said, you're not preaching what Paul preached, you're a false apostle. So they had a standard. And the standard for the fivefold is to match up what they're saying with what this prophet said and with what the Apostle Paul said. Because actually, the standard for receiving William Branham as a word prophet was that he lined up with what Paul said. Because Paul said, if any man or angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what I have already taught, let him be cursed. He said, and if we, including myself, preach any other gospel, let him be cursed. Paul included himself because he had thus saith the Lord. All right. That's how long the five gifts of God will be operating in the church. Shall we all come in the unity of the faith? Now, does that mean that we are to believe every time they can hear it? Nope. As I said, nope. Give it the word test like everything else. And that will help you grow up real fast when you have to discern by the word who's teaching truth and who's teaching error. Because it makes you stand on your own two feet. Oh, brother, that's what I believe. Oh, you don't even know what he said. Good grief. And I'm going to show you in his own words. He said things to make you leave, to make you go off. He said it. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, you see, that is what the fivefold gifts are to do, to help you grow up into Christ, to know and understand the Word of God so that you will not be led astray with all sorts of doctrines of men. He is saying that is the purpose of the five gifts, is to help the church not to be deceived. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, from his sermon, The Baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, that's what the body consists of. In the local body, that there's nine spiritual gifts. One of them is wisdom, knowledge, divine healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, all the different gifts that's in the local body. And these apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists are all here to be sure that in these gifts, these things are working right. If they find something false raising up, quickly they condemn it. That's what I'm doing this morning. Because it is not according to the Scripture. Notice, it's not according to the tape. No, not according to the Scripture. Let somebody walk up here and say, bless God, I got oil in my hands. Looky here. You know, I believe the Holy Ghost. I got oil in my hands. You'll hear somebody say, well, that's not scriptural. That's right. Let's take and go here in the room. Let's search the Scriptures through. Show me in the Scriptures where that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You see, Brother Rev took everything back to the Scripture. So, brothers and sisters, it's all got to go back to the Scriptures. And if it isn't right, and you had better not believe it, and that is why God has set in the church men to help you to understand the Scripture so you will not be deceived. Again, he said, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He said, notice, if Jesus did those things in that day, and he has raised from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's obligated to his word. Now, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is working through his sanctified vessels, plural. And God has said in the church, what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches. It's God preaching through him. So what are you going to say? Put a muzzle on him? Your only job is to get up there and push a button? But it's okay for me to speak for an hour before I push the button? That's hypocrisy. That's disingenuous. If you're going to tell the preachers not to preach, you better not preach yourself. Just get up there and push the button. Listen. The Holy Spirit is here working through His sanctified vessels, and God has said in the church, what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists and pastors. That's right. For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches. It's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees a vision. It's God speaking through him. I do nothing except the Father shows me first what to do. You see, the problem is they can't discern between vessels. But it's the same God. So if you believe God, listen, I mean, look, I'm going to just say this. At the Branham Tabernacle, Brother Branham is still the pastor. That's hogwash! Brother Branham is off the scene. You don't have a pastor who's been, I'll put it this way, who's been asleep in Christ for 55, 60 years. That's cultish. That is cultish. So if you believe God's vindicated prophet, then you believe that what he says here. He says it's not the preacher that preaches, it is God who preaches to him. So tell me then, what is the difference if God uses a prophet or an apostle to preach through? What is the difference if God uses a teacher or a pastor to teach through? It's God all the way through, and if you cannot see that, you do not have the mind of God to know what God knows and to see what God sees. Because you're not born again. And the problem is we've got many people, 2 million plus, following the message. And how many of them, maybe a handful, are truly born again? And then you try to say, well, no, you see, you're not sweet, so therefore you're not born again. That's a bunch of hogwash. Forgive me for using those words, but that's just garbage. Total garbage. The problem is people don't love the word. They love what people say about them. I don't care what people say about me. And from this day forward, look, I've been serving God for 30, 40 years now. As a pastor, actually 40, almost 40, it'll be 40 years next year as a pastor. I was serving him before that. I don't care what people say. That's why I don't have a big congregation. I don't kiss the babies. Oh, I do kiss babies, but, you know, I mean, I don't make a show of it. I don't try to, you know, pet you on the back and Lord bless you, my brothers. I speak the truth. I speak the truth. Yeah. And God anoints that word by bringing signs and wonders and doing, personally showing up, having his picture taken, no different than that, brothers and sisters. Brother Branham called that three rainbows. He called that the pillar of fire. He said that was the greatest manifestation of God in his life, in his ministry. And it happened over my ministry as well. So I can speak with a little bit of authority. So if you believe God's vindicated prophet, then you will believe what he says here. He says it is not the preacher that preaches, it is God who preaches through him. So tell me then, what is the difference if God uses a prophet, a word prophet, or he uses an apostle who's teaching the same thing? It's still God teaching. Or if he uses a teacher who teaches the same thing, it's still God teaching. Or a pastor. It's God all the way through. And you cannot, if you can't see that, you're not born again. You're so focused on churchianity and traditions and all that garbage. And you're making things a denomination. I'm not talking to you people. I'm not even talking to you people. I'm talking to those people out there that have made this message into many different sects and cults and denominations. Now let's continue to read about what happened with Philip the evangelist. And he, the eunuch, desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture, which he was reading from, was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? Now look, if you just read the scripture and have no questions, or if you just push play and have no questions, then either you are just going through the motions, which most of them do. Well, it's Sunday today, and we're going to go on a picnic, or we're going to go horseback ride, or we're going to go do this, or we're going to go, you know, to the lake or whatever. And so I should put a tape in the car and play. You're wrong. He said, I don't care if a church only preaches half the word. Go. Get what you can. Get in church. It's your obligation. Then either you're just going through the motions or you're just not even interested in what the scriptures say. And you know what the scriptures are? The thoughts of God. So you're too busy jab, 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 jabbing your own mouth and you're not interested in what the thoughts of God are. Boy. And they call themselves bride? Do you call yourselves bride? Then Philip, the evangelist, opened his mouth. Good thing he didn't have a tape recorder. Well, let me find it. Oh, here's a quote. No. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. This is the first church, the early church. Do we see those things happening today? Very rarely. I know they've happened in my ministry. Not this particular one, but many other things. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that eunuch saw him no more, and he went away on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, with that in mind, let's go to paragraph 13 of the Unveiling of God, where Brother Brown tells you how important it is to understand what he was sent to teach. And we just read that it takes the actual gifts that God set in the church to bring out that understanding. And in this paragraph, we will see why. Okay? Paragraph 13. Now, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So, Brother Ram just finished reading the word. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you who take the tapes, you in if you who take the tapes and listen, how many people have it on in the background, just, and they're in church or their own house playing church. If you take the case and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. In other words, I'm speaking to you the words of God, but I'm cloaking them in such a way that they're still hidden to those who are just playing church. See, it's a thing sometimes. We have to say things in such a way. Who's we, William Brown? Well, Paul, John, James, Peter, Jesus. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Amen. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Brian. I just thought that was you. I just thought that was your personality. A surrendered vessel to God, does their personality is going to rub you every way it can. Not purposely, but that'll be God rubbing through that vessel to sandpaper off the burrs. Like Brother Howard said to me years ago, he said, you know, he said, when you preach things and it hurts, he said, then I realized, why is it hurting? Do you ask that question? Why does this hurt so much? Could it be that you've got some things that need to be worked out? Now notice Brother Branham is telling you that he has to speak his message in such a way that not just listening to the tape, you will understand what he's teaching. See? He says, you can listen to the tapes, but you may not be able to understand what I'm saying because I have to say it in such a way as to thin out the ranks of the listeners. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Brother Bale was a good one at that. Now let's read on and see what else that he has to say about this. Then it might be that some would say, oh, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. He said one day, when he had thousands around him, he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of God, Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What kind of a statement do you think that a medical doctor or nurse or any fine intellectual person would think of a statement like that for a man that had a ministry like he had? Why, he would say, eat the flesh, that's a cannibal. To drink human blood, it's a vampire. In other words, he wants us to be cannibals and vampires, and the whole audience walked away from him. All of them. Many of them, it says, left. They just left. Good. Now we can get down. Just working with the real believers, and yet one of them's a devil. And there was a ministerial association with him of 70 that had been chosen. He had chose them. And he turned to them and said, what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he came? Now, he didn't explain that. He never explained how. Paul did that later on. He, Jesus, just said it. See? And then when this... And then he said, what will you say to these ministers when you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he come from? No doubt them men said. Now, these are ministers. Now, just a moment. Oh, we eat with him. We fish with him. Huh? We sleep with him. We know where he was born. We've seen the cradle that he was rocked in. The log cabin he was born in. Oh, excuse me, he didn't say that. And how does this man... This is a hard saying, and the Bible said they didn't walk with him anymore. They left him. Now listen. Not only did Jesus speak to the people that way, but to those who claimed to be ministers as well. He did it to everyone. So then you say, well, then how can a man come to an understanding if the words are said in such a way as to make some to go out and others to leave and still others to ponder over what was said? Now you're starting to get it. That's the job of the Holy Ghost in you. When the Comforter comes, he will lead you into all truth. Paul said, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Then in the next paragraph, Brother Branham said, the same words the people heard and the same words the ministers heard and or even the same words the disciples heard. Then he had 12 left. He chose 12 and even one of them was the devil. He said, so he turned to them and there's no one could explain what he had just said. And how are they going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? How do they come down when he was born right there on earth? See, they couldn't understand it. And then he turned to the apostles and he said, do you want to go also? And that's when the apostle Peter made the great statement, Lord, to whom should or whom would we go? See? For we are satisfied. We know assuredly that you and you alone have the word of life at this hour. See? And we're satisfied of that. See? They could not explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe in. It's so solid that there's nothing else will take its place. Therefore, they know that the word that was written for the age that they were living in, the Messiah age, that he fit that place exactly. And what could they do to go back in them cold, formal churches that they come out of? He said, where would we go? See, we are fully persuaded that you have the word of life. See, and they couldn't explain it, but they believed it. See, and my challenge to you and you out there, go read Ephesians 4 and see what the fivefold offices or the fivefold gifts of God are supposed to do. And when you find a minister that does that, then stick with them. You understand? Because they're fulfilling the word for the age. And Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, he said that to weed down his crowd, and still, see, till he could get that group together. And out of those people, they only 11 of them that understood actually who he was. So 11, remember there were 70 that were following, plus the 12 actually. And 71 out of the 81, or 82, had no clue. Just followed. So he had to weed him down. He had to almost be brutal in what he said in order to get him to leave. They knowed that he was God and God alone. Now, my subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. God is always in every age, has hid behind a veil, all ages, but he's still God all the time, see? But he's kept himself hid from the world and reveals himself to his elected, like the apostles at that day. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. Now, man is always, it's been the nature of man, he sought to see physically that God. He's always wanted to see it. Man has made creatures that look like him. They think of the Indians worshiping God, you know, the sun. And we find in Africa different forms of animals and so forth, and up at the totem poles in Alaska, and different forms that they think that this is, you know, God is in it. As Paul spoke there at Athens that time on Mars Hill and told them that they were superstitious concerning the unknown God, and that they knowed he was there, but yet they didn't know him. What good does it do to know God is here if you don't know him? What good would the parousia of Christ do if there's 84 signs and events and you're so clueless that you haven't got a clue that already 79 have taken place? What good is that message doing you? Not a bit of good. They're so busy like they were in the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they married, they gave a marriage, you did their business and everything else. And they just went on, every day we just went on, and oh, let's just play a tape once in a while. That's not the Enoch walk. Enoch walked with him every day, every minute of every day. Now, we find John telling us the same thing, 1 John 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even we're in the same way as his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, eternal life. Now, this is the one scripture that is used by the oneness people to try to justify their doctrine that God and Jesus are one, like your fingers one. But Brother Brown taught us that they are wrong when they teach that. From the palm worm, locust, and caterpillar, he said, you oneness brethren. Many of you get off the wrong track when you try to think that God is one, like your finger is one. He can't be his own father. He can't be. But he is God. God is Jehovah, the Spirit, and Christ was the house that he dwelt in. And then he sacrificed his life, and when he did, he gave up the Spirit. And through this unadulterated blood that he shed, he sanctified me, that he might come himself and dwell in me and in you. And God is with us, that's the Holy Ghost, which is the same, very same God, Jehovah God. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world, and the things that I do shall you do also. Now, see, a lot of people read that. You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, you know, the Holy Ghost is in Brother Branham, but he's not in anybody else. He's not in the fivefold offices of God, but he's in Brother Branham. Jesus said he'd be in all of us. Brother Branham said, I only have a measure. Jesus had the fullness. Can you all just say that? Brother? Okay. Jesus had the fullness. Can you say that? Jesus had the fullness. Brother Branham and me have only got a measure. Okay, now, you're held accountable to that because you said it. But that's the truth. That's what he said. There's where the caterpillars begin to eat and the cake of worms, trying to make God the Father setting in glory, God the Son setting up some right hand he's got. But if we read what John said slowly and carefully and read what is written by John without trying to add your own thoughts, you will see that it perfectly runs in continuity with the doctrine of Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, we read, "And we know that the Son of God is come." So we see here that he's speaking of the Son of God. And he's telling us that there's something about this coming of the Son of God that we should know. He says, and remember, "and" is a conjunction, "this coming," he says, "hath given us an understanding." So, in this thought, John is telling us here, there is something that the Son of God did for us by his coming, and that is to give us understanding. And the understanding was given for the purpose, he says, that we might, that we may know him that is true. Now, we have to ask the question, who is this one that is true? And we know Jesus himself said that God is the only true God. All right? Therefore, if we are doing more than just reading like a book, we will actually ask ourselves this question. Was the coming of the Son of God to give us an understanding of the Son of God himself? Or did he come that we might know him that is true, which is God? Now, I know that my wife's father was one of the early believers, followed Brother Branham from the early times on. They didn't have any Methodist churches in the area, so they listened to tapes. But they just didn't push play and just everybody sit back and go to sleep. He would stop it every so often and say, "Did you hear that? Rewind it. I'm going to play it again. Did you hear what he said? That's the way it's supposed to be done. Not just put on a tape, you know, not just speak for an hour, you know, about your doctrine, and then put on a tape for 2 hours, and everybody fall asleep during the tape because they got excited when you were preaching. Oh, yeah, when I was in Africa, they spent the whole 2 hours before I got up to preach, dancing in the aisles, banging the bongos, having a bongo competition for 20 minutes. The pastor had rattles. They made a big sign, big scene, and I got up there and I said, shame on you. Shame on you. Big, heavy women just laying back, all full of sweat and everything else, just laying back, just exhausted. I said, did you come to hear the word or did you come to dance? I said, now you're going to be so tired and sleepy that you won't hear the word of God. And you know, many of the ministers that were there got offended. But the next morning, the pastor got up and said, you know what Brother Brown said is right. Because I told him, so why don't you listen to Brother Brown's tapes and see what kind of music that was sung before he came. It was reverent and self-introspective, quiet. And then the word comes. And I said, if you want to get excited after the word is spoken, that's fine. But you use up all your energy before the word is spoken. I said, you're just coming for a show. And so the pastor the next morning, he got up and said, I heard a bunch of your complaints and stuff. He said, but Brother Brown, what he said was right. He said, we've been taught wrong. And then he asked me to come forward. And when I did, the Holy Spirit came. The first rainbow came. Horizontal rainbow. Horizontal. Brother Brown said, the horizontal rainbow, that's the second coming. All right? That's a sign, or he said, a sign of the second coming. It showed God was here, still here. Then the second one came. Then a third one. And for the entire time I was preaching, that rainbow stood there. The first one was horizontal. The second one, when it joined itself to the first one, it formed a bowl. And when the third one, it formed a whole circle. And they videotaped it. So God was pleased with my chewing out. All right? Because it brought correction. The Word of God is for correction and reproof in righteousness. So don't get mad at me when I'm bringing the Word of God out that'll help you to bust free from all that group. I call it group therapy. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You got to be an individual with God. He didn't come here for a group. He came here for individuals. He said the Son of God came that we might have understanding of Him. That is true. Now, the Scripture tells that Jesus did not come to declare Himself, but He came to declare the Father. John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Exegeted. In other words, God, you couldn't see God, He's a spirit. But when God housed Himself in the vessel of His Son, now you could see God. And again we read in John 8:19, "Then said they unto Him, Where is the Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know Me nor the Father. If ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also." In other words, you're looking at Me, aren't you? And one more, John 8:54. Jesus answered, "If I honor Myself, My honor is nothing. It is My Father that honoreth Me, of whom you say that He is your God. Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say that I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you." Oh, Jesus just called them a liar. Oh, not nice little Jesus. Well, you know, nice little Jesus went into the temple and just tore down all the money-making schemes. That's your nice little Jesus. Because you say that you know Him. And you know what the Bible says? The reason why He did that? The zeal of the Lord hath eaten Him up. So when a minister of the gospel, when that zeal of the Lord gets on him, and he says things that might pin your ears back, just realize it's God. It's the anointing of God upon that. Because you say you know Him, when you don't know Him, making yourself a liar. But I know Him, and I keep, what? His saying, His words. Now I'm getting back to John, 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God has come, and His coming has given us an understanding that we may know Him," you know, the invisible God, "that is true." So we see that the coming of the Son of God was given to us as to give us an understanding of the one that is true, which is God. And notice as John continues, "and we are in Him," that is true. Even, the word "even" means in the same manner or in the same way that we are in His Son, Jesus Christ. "This one," that is true, "is the true God and eternal life." Now, the only true God is God, as Jesus says in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that we might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Jesus separating the difference between the two. Now, that is how you read the verse of Scripture. It speaks of the coming of the Son of God was in order to make manifest or declare the Father to us in such a way that we might know and understand the Father as never had known and understood prior to this coming. Now, Brother Brown taught us that God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass, and therefore it takes manifestation of the Word to bring to us full understanding of that Word. Remember, he said, well, they can read the same Bible, you know, that you're reading, but they can't see it when it comes to pass. What's the difference? That Word is in here, brother, sister. And when you see it out there and you know it's in here, it's lining up. That front sight, that back sight, it lines up, it comes together, and you say, wow, we're watching the unfolding of God. The unfolding of God's Word. Now, so we see the coming of the Son of God and God Himself manifesting in His Son is what brought us an understanding of who God our Father really is. Without seeing the Son of God playing out His role with the Father, we would not truly understand who the Father is, nor our role that we must play as sons, and thus we would not understand Him that is true, the only God. You see, this is the problem. I've seen it around the world. They try to make a group thing out of, well, I believe there's a Father and Son. Well, that's fine. But there are many Trinitarian churches that believe the same thing. They even call Him the Son of God and this and that. But then they'll end up saying, you know, God's Son. But here's the thing, brother, sister. You know, there's a Church of God split off that believes the doctrine almost the same as you do. But see, if you don't take it from viewing the role of the Son of God and then you step into that role, it doesn't do you any good. Jesus is the pattern for all sons. If you only see Father and Son, you're only halfway there. You need to see Father and Son and sons. And then place yourself in that. So this morning we're going to examine the understanding that we have been given concerning our relationship with the one that is true, which is God our Father. Now, although the Son of God came to give us an understanding, Paul told us that now we see through a glass darkly, but at the parousia we shall see Him face to face, which is presence to presence. He said, now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we are known. Now we find in 1 Peter 1 and 13 that speaks of the unveiling of Christ, that it is a time of a certain grace is to come upon the church. And that grace is actually an understanding. 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace. No, it's hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at what? When? The apocalypse, which is the revelation, which is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We also find in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul speaks of the same thing. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, like fertilizer, in all utterance, in all logos, that's our fertilizer, the word, and in all knowledge. What's the word knowledge? Kinosko. What does it mean? Experientially knowing. You see, because if you know this Bible from cover to cover, and you can recite it from cover to cover, but you've never experienced God personally, you don't know the Word. You don't ginosko it. But that grace is to marry the two together. The knowing of the Word, the understanding of the Word with the experiencing of the Word. If you have not met the pillar of fire on the backside of the desert, Brother Brown said, you're not fit for the pulpit. If you haven't had an experience with God that so penetrates you, you're not fit to stand here. So most of the fivefold ministry today are businessmen who know how to bring a gathering together, the right kind of music, the right kind of churchianity, and they'll get the numbers. I'm not interested in numbers. Brother Michael knows that. I've never been interested in numbers. I'm interested in one thing, the Word of God. So he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, all logos, all understand, or all knowledge, kinosko. Well, if it's all knowledge, then it's a once for all enlightenment that Paul speaks of in Hebrews 6. Even as, or in the same way that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, vindicated in you. So, that you come behind no gift, waiting for the coming. That word gift is the word charisma. It actually means an endowment, an understanding. Waiting for the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if that's... waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, how can you, if you have the same mind, the same judgment, how are you going to have divisions? How are you going to do it? Now, that's the only way that people can be joined together in one mind, and that is by receiving the mind of Christ. And the only way you're going to get the mind of Christ is to have the Holy Ghost. Now, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 2 that the only way that we can be joined together is by having the same mind, and that can only come by being baptized into one body by one Spirit. Notice in verse 19, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You know, as a young minister, it used to bother me when people left the church. But once you understand this scripture, you realize that if they had the same mind and the same spirit, they would have stayed together with you. So the fact that they leave is vindication that they are not of you. And that's what John is saying here. And then he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, let me put John's words in very plain English. You have remained because God has anointed you with His Holy Spirit, and because you do have His Spirit, you have the same mind of the Spirit, and thus you know all things. Now, he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, and is a conjunction. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath or echoes not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son echoes the Father also. Why? Because if you acknowledge that God has a Son, then you acknowledge that God to be a Father. Now, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised to us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his parousia. If you know that he is righteous, rightly wise, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks of this understanding in Ephesians 1:18. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Again, in Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So when you come to that place, and I believe many of us here have, many of you out there have, then when you see something happening out there in the ecosphere around you, you know, the news, whatever they call it, your mind immediately goes to Scripture or goes to something a vindicated prophet warned us about. He was 8 and 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So here's the question I want to ask you. Is it because the believer is more intelligent than the unbeliever? No. Because if that were so, it would run contrary to the Scripture that says God has hid from the wise and prudent and revealed to babes such as will learn. It has nothing to do with our intelligence. It has all to do with your election. Or is it because we are so much better than the rest? I don't think it has anything to do with it, with us. But it has all to do with God's choosing. 1 Corinthians 4:7, who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So whether you understand the word or you don't for this hour, you have no right to put yourself above others and act like, you know, well, I've got it and they don't have it. It is God himself who makes the elect to differ from the non-elect. How is it, you should ask, that you understand while others never seem to know or come to the knowledge of the truth? Therefore, it is God himself who makes the elect to differ from the non-elect. What it ought to do is to humble you and make you realize, as Brother Bram said, 90% of the time I don't even feel I'm saved. I live my life, I believe, impeccable. And yet I could say something and my wife thinks I'm, that's not true, that's a lie. I said, we're talking two different, you know, Mars and Venus. It's not a lie. If you knowingly say something wrong, it's a lie. If you unknowingly say it, it's not a lie. You're just saying it based on what you understand to be the truth. Now, it is God who makes the elect different. Every one of us is going to be held accountable for our actions and our interactions. And without understanding the Godhood of God, we will never understand his sovereignty. And without understanding his Godhood, we will never understand God, who he is, why he does what he does. Remember, the people saw the actions of God, but Moses knew God's ways. I believe that you can't be in the bride of Christ in this hour without knowing God's ways. Well, having that same spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him that was on Moses, on you. Yeah. Our conception then of God becomes only one, what is made up in the minds of men, a God of their own imagination. That's, look, most people, their revelation of Jesus Christ is made up in their mind. When you read your Bible, do you read the whole chapter and rush through it, or do you take one verse at a time and say, well, God, what are you trying to get across to me? That's the way the Proverbs are written. You can go from one thought here to the next verse is another thought over here. Read it one thought at a time. That's golden nuggets. The Apostle Paul tells that the carnal man can never understand God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. As written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. See, we receive the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Therefore, if you do not have the Spirit of the living God in you, you will never know, nor will you understand the things of God. So how can you understand the message that God came down to deliver to us in this age if you are not born again of His Spirit? And if you are so proud to say, I don't need a fivefold ministry to teach me. I mean, that's like taking, you know, when my child was a year or two years old, I used to choose food a little bit for him and let him eat it, you know. And now, you know, he can eat it on his own. Yeah, because he's 3 years old. He can eat his own food now. That's not the same thing, brother, sister. But that's pride. That's pride that would say that. And you know what? A lot of people are going to miss the resurrection ministry because they are so full of pride. That's sad. The carnal man will not even come to the light, which means he will not come to gain understanding, but rather he flees from the light. As we see in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light, revelation, is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the revelation, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. People claiming the Holy Ghost and pull deals on one another. I'm going to tell you something. If you pull a deal on somebody, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't act like that. You look at girly pictures, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't, he covers his eyes. You see, in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, 69. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You see, we don't even understand God's ways or His thoughts, therefore how could we ever on our own choose a way that would be pleasing to Him? In the Gospel of Mark 4:11, Jesus says, and He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto you. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, that's exactly what Brother Branham said in the beginning. He said, we have to say things in such a way in it, that it might thin down, it might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Jesus said in Matthew 13:11, He said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. That is the reason that John says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true, which is that we may know God. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the gospel to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by God knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now what is Paul saying? But we preach Christ crucified. Didn't he also say, I am crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living, it's Christ living in me. That's what he's talking about. We preach it, we live it. We live our sermon of Christ being crucified. And under the Jews it's a stumbling block. But under the Greeks it's foolishness. But under them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised, God hath chosen. And things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, the very first time, it wasn't until 2009 that I actually saw the brothers had put together a video, and I was over there in Congo, and they showed me the video of those rainbows come, and I couldn't do anything but weep. To weep just to know that God himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, came down while I was preaching. It didn't make me puffed up, didn't make me feel like I'm somebody. It made me realize that we have a God who's he lowered himself from the heavens to come down there while I was preaching about him and his relationship with his son Jesus. Now, getting back to Matthew 13, Jesus said, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, they see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross. So how many people listening to the tapes today hear and don't hear? Hear and don't understand? How many of them see and don't perceive? And always remember and never forget that the heart always refers to their understanding. And therefore, if the heart has waxed gross, it means their understanding has become hardened and thickened or crystallized. And they cannot learn anything more than what they already know. Just like Lot's wife, who was crystallized and she stopped right there in her footsteps. And she could go no further. You know, she did come out of Sodom. But because she was so crystallized, she froze right there. And when you stop learning, you become stupid. I know people don't like that word stupid, but it's an English word. Look it up. When you stop learning, you become stupid. And that is exactly what the Greek definition says. It means to make thick, to make fat, to fatten, metaphorically to make stupid, to render the soul dull or callous. And that's exactly, I think it's interesting, that this is exactly what the vaccine is supposed to do. It's to change the DNA and it's to change your VMAT2 gene, which is in the brain, so that it renders your soul dull. It renders your ability to be perceptive spiritually, it renders it dull. Because these people are godless. They don't want you to have any spiritual understanding. They don't want you to have any relationship with God. They want you to just to go to work, punch a clock, go home. We'll give you a little bit of government money just to keep you a little bit happy once in a while. Keep it from rioting. That's all it's about. Control, control, control. To change the DNA. Okay. To make dull the sensitivity of things that are spiritual. And Jesus continues by saying, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They close them. Therefore, this is ignorance. This ignorance is willful ignorance. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Again, I hope you can see what Jesus is telling us is exactly what Brother Branham is telling us when he said we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down, it might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Now, getting ready to close, but we still have a little bit left. But in the book of Job, we read, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, which is the anointing of the Almighty, gives them understanding." And then we find the same thought in Mark 4:1. "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, he that has an understanding, let him understand. "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, but not perceive, and hearing they may hear, but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And then, how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts, in their understanding. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with joy, with great gladness, and they have no root in themselves." And what? What's that mean? They have no word in them to base it on. "And so they endure but for a season, but afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enters in and chokes the word." Well, where's that word? It entered into them, but it's being choked off. What? By their everyday activities. "And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as, number one, they hear the word, number two, they receive the word, and number three, they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Number one, notice, they must hear the word. That means to understand the word. Number two, they must receive the word. The word receive is from the Greek word paradekomai, and it means to acknowledge as their own. This word is made up of two words, para, meaning beside or alongside of, with or near, and the word dekomai, which means receive or accept, take up as your own. Number one, to take with the hand. Number two, to take up, to receive. Number 2b, to receive or grant access to a visitor, not to refuse intercourse or friendship, to receive hospitality, to receive into one's family, to bring up or to educate, to see. Of the things offered in speaking, teaching, instructing, to receive favorably, give ear to, embrace, make one's own, approve, not to reject, 2d, to receive, i.e. to take up oneself, sustain, bear, endure, and number three, to receive, to get to learn. In other words, there's a willful effort there to understand it, to make it part of you. John 8:37, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen of my father, and you do that which you have seen of your father." They answered and said unto him, how have they seen it of their father? It's in their DNA. All right? They answered said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." What were the works of Abraham? Well, when God came down and dwelt in a dust, Elohim, he received that man as Elohim. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." And they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication, we're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, here we see three characteristics of the natural man, or the man who has not been born again. These three characteristics are found in every man that is not born again. Number one, they cannot receive the things of God. Number two, because the things of God are foolishness unto them. And number three, because they cannot understand them. So we find in Psalm 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way. The word there is derech. The word way is derech. It means the course of life. The Lord knoweth the way or the course of life of the righteous, but the way or the course of life of the ungodly shall perish. That word knoweth is from the Greek word yada, and to be made known, to become known, to be revealed, to make oneself known, to be perceived, to be instructed, to cause to make oneself known, to reveal itself. So in other words, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word is abad, and it means they're just left to themselves. You see, when you try to share the gospel with someone and they just don't have any desire to receive it, just let them go. Let them alone. Doesn't mean you have to treat them bad. When the Bible says, after two admonitions, reject as a heretic, it doesn't mean, I don't have nothing to say to you anymore. You know, we're not even friends. No. Some of Brother Branham's best friends were unbelievers. Homosexuals. Different people. But they treated him good. He treated them good. But they had no more clue of this message than nothing. You had people that thought Brother Brown was Jesus Christ. Totally lost. And yet, they loved him. And he loved him in return. So just treat everybody with respect. You don't have to like what the person does. But show respect. And like the Bible says, children, honor your father and mother. Don't make fun of them. Honor them. Show respect. Now, you don't have to agree with 100%. Like some people say, I'd love to come to Brother Brian's church, but my father would kill me. I'd rather have my father kill me than God kill me. All right? I'm not saying God's going to kill you if you don't come to my church. I'm just saying that somebody said that. I mean, when I came to this message, I didn't even know my dad had a pistol in the house. He came down and he says, "You got 5 minutes to pack your bag and leave." I left. Did I treat my dad with disdain and disrespect and everything else? No, I love my dad. And I had a chance, when my dad was in the hospital, to talk to him about Jesus Christ, and my dad got saved. And then I remember coming into, I was moving furniture from my grandmother's house where I was living in her attic, and I was moving it into a house right down the street from my grandmother so I could keep my eye on her and help her. And I walk in the door, and one of my uncles says, "Brian, bad news, your father just passed away." It was just the day after I was talking to my dad. And I went upstairs, and I was just so grieved and just weeping so terribly, and the Holy Spirit just calmed me down and said, "What are you weeping for? Hadn't I said, if you buy the token, you'd be saved?" Then God reminded me of a dream that I had 3 months before, where I was on my way to my dad's funeral. And Brother Brown was sitting in the car. And Brother Brown didn't say a word the whole time. We're driving out to Pennsylvania from Minnesota. But when we got there, he just laid his hands on the coffin, and my dad raised from the dead. And I saw that, and I tell you what, my extreme sorrow went to extreme bliss. Because I'll see my dad on the other side. We had a wonderful conversation. Therefore, we see that the Lord actively works in the life of the righteous to make sure that the righteous understand the true revelation and disclosure of God. In other words, God purposes in his heart to make sure that his kids know him. Now, that sounds like a real dad, doesn't it? But with the ungodly, it's not so. Notice what is said about the ungodly. But the way, the course of life of the ungodly shall perish, abad, be lost or strayed to give up as lost. Now, you just let them go. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the understanding shall turn to the Lord, all right, then what happens? The veil shall be taken away, the blindness. It'll be taken away. 1 Corinthians 13:19. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And Brother Brown said, we have today, by God's grace, the perfect word revealed. And there is no one perfect but God. Then this speaks of when he, God, comes. When I was a child, I spake as a child, but I understood as a child. Why did I understand like a child? I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. And I put away childish thinking. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face, that's person to person, presence to presence. Therefore, there is coming a time when I will see him presence to presence. Now I know in part, but then, when, at the time that he is personally here, then shall I know him even as also I am known. That word is epignosko, to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well, to recognize by sight, by hearing, of certain signs, to perceive who is a person, who a person is, then I will understand, he says. And Isaiah 28:8. We read of the end time conditions where he says, for all tables, that's all pulpits, are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? That's the message. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to the people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith that may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there, and that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken. The word of the Lord becomes to them conduct, order, and doctrine. That's it. Because the knowledge of ourselves comes from the knowledge we receive from knowing God. In Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, Phaneru, then shall we also appear with him in the same glory. This tells us that when Christ manifests in his true character, we shall do the same. Again, we see in 1 John 3:1-2, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world can never know them of themselves because they never knew him. If you do not see the correct understanding of the Godhead, you will never really know who you are. You cannot know who you are. Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice the little things that Jesus kept doing to help these people to come to an understanding. Everything he did was with the purpose in mind to show them the light of what had taken place in their day, and he took everything to the Word, and by the Word he revealed the day and its condition. Now, he did not do this to the world, he only did it to the true elect. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus himself had to go to the scriptures. All right. Look at the reaction of these men. Their hearts begin to burn with them. And when this began to burn up inside, it isn't long before they want to go and tell others what has happened. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how that he made known to them in the breaking of bread. And notice the first reaction was to go and to share this wonderful things to the others. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat it. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now notice, Jesus appeared in the room. What did he do? Hey, I'm hungry. Give me some fish. So you don't think Brother Brown's going to get a bear in a resurrected body? Jesus was hungry in his resurrected body. Now, by this time, they had known him and followed him for 3.5 years, and yet they still did not. They still had not their eyes open to what was happening in their day. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I can't wait for that resurrection. You think it's going to be a thing where you say, oh, how you doing, buddy? He's going to be, oh, God. Oh, God. I've gone now from the shouting to the voice. And that means my own body change is coming soon. Now, with this in mind, what ought our attitudes to be toward others who are struggling to understand? Jesus never just wrote them off, but he went after them. Not with a whip. That was for the unbelievers who hated the light. What Jesus did was to give them an example after example after example of resurrection presence, resurrection evidence, and showing resurrection life. In closing, Brother Branham said from the book of Exodus, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. There is no way of understanding it until you're born again. And then God reveals himself to you. And then you know that you've passed from death unto life, because no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you'll ever know that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Spirit personally witnesses to you that he is the resurrected Lord Jesus. No matter what he would do, what kind of signs, what kind of miracles, you'll never know it until your personal experience with God. You say, well, I believe it because the Bible says so. Well, that's good. The Bible, it's true. It knows it. Well, the preacher says so. Perhaps he knows. Well, Mother says so. She knows. But what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed to you individually by the Holy Spirit. And then by accepting it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, born a second time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just pray that, Lord, if we don't have that experience, we would stay on our knees till we do. If we don't have your Holy Ghost, that we would come forward to have hands laid on us to receive your Holy Spirit, because that's the biblical way of doing it, passing it on from one to another. It's like taking a torch that's lit and lighting other torches from it. They've got to come in contact. There has got to be a contact made. Lord, we just pray that your divine presence among us this morning would go forth in our hearts, in our minds, and Lord, that we would become more humble than ever before, realizing, oh God, that what we have by the grace of God. And may we pray like we've never prayed before for loved ones, Lord, that they would all come in. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Can you feel his presence here? Amen. I sure do.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give